Welcome to the Pussy Parlor Podcast. I am your host, Kitty Velour. I am a pole dance artist, glittery showgirl, and a pole dance and floor work instructor. Here at the parlor, I interview new guests each week, including pole dancers, strippers, showgirls, sex workers, and cabaret creatures of all kinds. Our parlor guest today is Estefania Jimenez, an old-school style pole dancer from Mexico. Her signature style has brought her all over the world, performing in Pole Show LA, Pole Show St. Petersburg, Pole Show Brazil, and Rise the Night. She has also won Sexiest Legs in the Industry and Up and Coming Artist from Pole World News. Estefania is known for her mesmerizing leg movements and supernatural strength on the pole. In today's episode, we talk about pole dancing in Mexico, overcoming adversity when people don't believe in you, performing pole shows in the US, and the culture difference when teaching in Russia. Welcome to the Pussy Parlor.
Thank you so much, Kitty, for having me.
Yes, I'm really excited to talk to you, and I've been loving all of your latest photos on your Instagram. You always just look amazing.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
How would you describe yourself for someone that doesn't know who you are? What's your style?
Oh, my style. Okay, I have different, you know, like feelings about myself. Sometimes I feel like some delicate ballerina, and sometimes like I feel a badass rock star. So I think it's a combination between both of my personalities. And yeah, I think it's kind of dynamic, sexy style, but also combined with sultry and delicate dance as well. Yeah, I think it's the best how I can describe my style.
Yeah, I love that. Like the two alternative spectrums. Yeah. And you're a full-time pole dancer?
Yes, I am. I have been a full full-time pole dancer since, I think, 6 years ago. Yeah, when I finished my high school, I just decided to go full-time with this.
Oh, wow. So was this because you're from Mexico originally, right?
Yes.
And how did that happen when you just finished school and you decided you wanted to be a pole dancer? How did that come about?
Well, in my last year of high school, I tried pole and I started training every day. And then I decided I want to take 1 year after high school just to do pole. So while I decide what to do with the college and everything. So after that, it was like, I need to do pole every day. And I don't have time for anything else. So I just went to the studio and trained a lot and everything. Then I decided, like, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a full-time teacher, performer, and everything. So I started building the career based on that. And what I did is to study a master's degree in communications, but online, because I didn't have time to go to universities. But anyway, it was fine.
Wow, that's amazing that you found pole at such a young age and you were like, this is my thing, this is what I want to do. What was the pole scene like where you were living?
Oh, well, in the beginning, the pole in Mexico is like really new, you know, while in another countries it has been like 20 years. This could be 8 or maybe 9. So when I started, it was very underground. The pole studios were like something rare. And people, they were mostly teaching at their apartments. So, and the very few studios that were open in Mexico, they were very sportive. Almost anyone was dancing in heels. Finding a dancing class, it was really, really difficult. And everyone at that time wanted to get rid of the background. So when I start pole, I wanted because I want to dance. Well, my teachers in that time, I just took like 4 months, 3 months of classes, but I was really, really like happy because we used to have one or two dance classes per week. So at the end of the class, we're just putting lights and dancing in like regular heels, not stripper heels or anything. But it was like my happy time. I enjoy the tricks, but the thing that I really enjoy, it was the dancing capsules during the week. But after that, I just decided to settle my pole in a home and I just focus more about the tricks. So in that time, the students were looking for someone that can teach like difficult tricks, like very sportive. They were starting to be a competitive like teams and everything. So when I started, I didn't have like so much kind of way to source to inspire myself to dance. So in that time, it was very sportive. Right now, it has been kind of transform in something more about dancing, about what they call like the exotic dance in Mexico and everything, but it's still a little bit of taboos and stigma around the dance, the old school, the old stripper style is seen in Mexico.
Yeah, that's interesting to think about because I imagine it was a little bit different in Mexico than it is here. What year was it roughly that you started getting into pole?
It was 8 years from now. So it was 2012, right?
No. Yeah. And were there strippers teaching? Is there a strip club scene or not really?
Well, what happened in Mexico is like to talk about the strip scene is like not really common. There's a lot of taboos and stigma, and also it's a dangerous work there. So we don't know if a teacher, I mean, nowadays, I don't know if my teachers were doing some kind of work in the strip club because they don't usually say that, you know, it's like a very bad image for someone that in that time it was teaching pole. So they want to clean this kind of stuff of the pole. So I'm not sure if the teacher, I mean, I just have like 3 teachers in these months. So I'm not sure if they try at some point, you know, like kind of work in the strip or not. So yeah, it's difficult to know.
Yeah, I guess it might not have been safe for them to be out about it, or it wasn't a good look to be open about it. So that's understandable that they might not want to mention it if they did. How do you deal with that stigma now compared to then? Do you think it's changed? Are people accepting, or do people like to do more stripper style?
Well, when I start, I have a lot of troubles. Like, I start doing very sportive way pole, you know, so I was just focused tricks. I kind of forget about my mission that would dance, that I just focus on tricks and I was doing fine. So, but at some point I just feel that I needed something else. And I just remind that my reason to be doing pole, it was because I wanted to dance, because I got inspiration of course, for the strippers. So when I start dancing, I have like a lot of troubles in the studio that I was working. They were like constantly saying that I shouldn't be doing that or posting so much in social media because it was bad image for the studio. So I started getting rid. I mean, at the beginning, I have a lot of classes. It was doing fine. And then I started having trouble with them. They were like, oh, you are a bad image. Because of you, we cannot progress on like a sport in Mexico, you know, because at that point, probably 2 or 3 people, we were dancing on heels, like old school, very stripper style. So they were like, okay, they were blaming us to give my image to the pole scene in Mexico. So I have to deal with that. It was like, you know, I cannot work anymore with this kind of persons. I decided to get rid of this kind of bad, you know, circle of not supportive people around me. And I decided to go on my way. And well, in my way, I just get cross with people that wanted to learn from me or wanted to support me. So this is why slowly I start growing a career in the pole in Mexico. What happened, it was very funny. People in Mexico, they were not very convinced about my work. At the beginning, they were trying like, oh yeah, you're good, but you know what? No one knows you. So we cannot pay what you are asking for. Or they were always choosing another pole dancer, for example, from another countries. They choose to bring them to Mexico instead of paying me or another person to teach there. So when I got invited to another country or another place, then kind of get convinced that I was good. It was until I got job offers from another country that people did, oh, she's good. She's worth it now, you know? So it was really funny. I love my country and I love the Polish scene and I love to teach there. Just, it was really sad how sometimes they support people from another country, even they are doing very similar stuff than you. Not to, you know, it was kind of disappointing, this part of my career in my own country, that sometimes I feel that I receive more compliments or support from people from across the world. In my same city, they were talking that I was the bad image from the pole.
Oh my God. It sounds like you've been through a lot. I had to deal with a lot on your own with the stigma and being really a pioneer in your country for what you do. But I'm really glad that you kept going and that you didn't listen to them and you kept pursuing it, because you're really an amazing dancer and I love your style. And it must have been really, really difficult to stay motivated in pursuing dance, because you could have just thought, well, I can't do the sexy style, so I'm just going to change and do something else. Or you might have censored yourself and changed the style of pole that you do. How did you stay motivated and how did you find inspiration when other people around you weren't really indulging in the stripper style?
Well, when in Mexico start to be like popular, what they call like Russian exotic style, people start asking me like, oh, can you add these kind of tricks to your, you know, like flips and keeps and different stuff that I was teaching. And at the beginning I was like, yeah, I can do that. I mean, I can do keeps. Sometimes I do when I want to try something new, but I don't really like to teach that. I mean, I feel like out of my place. It was like, oh, my way of dance is this. And I really enjoy when I teach and I really enjoy when I dance with my students in this way. I try like with different classes, for example, my friends, I have friends from any style of pole. And at some point it's like, yeah, I like it. I enjoy to be a student, but I cannot just transform. It was not the reason. I mean, the first pole dancer that I watched on the internet, it was not from this style. It was like the stripper style, the sexy style. And it was like my motivation to learn from YouTube almost everything. So it was what kept me in this path. It was like, okay, probably I won't get a job because it's not like the this point popular people, they are not interested in just what they call just moving around the pole. But at some point, probably yes, probably not, you know. It's like always stay true. And yes, of course, they were like moments that I wanted to quit, that I was like, you know, I will get in a like regular job. I was looking and applying for job related to my career. Yes, I did. And not too long ago, 3 years ago, because I was like, this is getting difficult. Probably I won't get as much as job as I want. So, but well, it's stay true. And I was like, no, I cannot handle 8 hours a job every day. I need to train. So let's see, you know, like put all the risk in something. It was like, I'm risking everything. Okay, well, let's continue. And it worked good to stay true to the path.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you did. And I know it's quite a difficult path to pursue being a pole dancer because it's such a new thing and it's very niche as well. So it's something that hasn't really had a long history of, can I make a living being a pole dancer, and having to kind of figure this out on your own because there's no like textbook that tells you how to make a living as a poler. Did you start by teaching workshops, and where were the first workshops that you taught, and what did you teach?
Oh, well, my first workshop, it was in 2016 when I got invitation to go to Hong Kong. It was like really impressive for me because, as I told you, in my country, I didn't have luck. It was like, yes, you know, like, oh, yes, you're good, but we are not paying these, or, you know, this time, no, probably next year when someone knows you better or something like that. So when I received this invitation to Hong Kong, I was like, this cannot be true. They don't know me. I haven't teach. I mean, in my social media, I don't have just like practice in the studios. I don't have like performance. I don't have anything that could be interesting for them. So the owner of the studio just told me like, oh, do you want to come? I'm offering you like X number of workshops on 2 weeks or, and I was like, okay, but I couldn't believe, you know, it's like, okay, it would be nice. But I believe until I have like the plane ticket on my hands, it was like, wow. But I was really nervous because English is not my native language. So, I mean, I have been doing tests. I was in a bilingual school, but it was not like teaching. So I was like in another country with different language, with my poor English. It was like, okay, I'm hoping for the best to get, but it was a really nice experience. It keeps me like from 0 to 100, make me jump into like a new challenge. From not having experience at teaching, I needed to prepare my classes. It was extra, you know, I was in a 14 hours flight. I was just preparing my classes, you know, preparing the choreographies that I was about to teach. So I needed to grow up in just little time as a teacher and to do my best in that time.
Wow. Yeah, that must have been really exciting to be approached from somewhere abroad. But also it's a completely different culture in different parts of the world. Everywhere has their own pole scene. So that must have been, you're sort of like thrown in the deep end there. Like, go to another country and teach a workshop in a language that is not your first language. That is amazing. What happened after that? Did you start teaching more workshops abroad? Did you start traveling more? What was next?
Yes, I feel after, like, the people were like, how you did that? I mean, how it happened? I don't even know how it happened. People gave to me a little bit of trust that I needed. Like, they trust me, and I'm forever grateful for that. So after that, kind of people start to trust you more. They are like, oh, well, someone like contract her from another country, so it can be mean that is good, you know. So I started teaching more also in my country. I started traveling around, and then around the world I started to get invitations and everything. But it was from that point that I started, and also planning more, you know. Like, before it was like probably a couple of workshops every 6 months, and now I have like agenda for almost whole year. So from that point I started doing more about traveling.
Wow, amazing. How did you fit in a training schedule with all this traveling? Did you have a strict setup of, this is the sort of things I'm going to practice for these days? How did you prepare for these workshops and shows and such?
Well, like my training days, They are like, yes, I have like a streak, but I try not to get obsessed with that because sometimes I just want to dance or sometimes I want to do whatever and not get a stick to a schedule. But mostly I try to practice everything every week. I try to give my time to plan my classes, to also dance, to relax, to stretch, to do the trick that I wanted to practice. Lately, it has been more about dancing. The dancing skills, they prepare the classes, they prepare these choreographies that I want to teach during the week. And the tricks, they are like a plus. Sometimes I remember that, I need to practice, get back on the track to this district because I haven't done in 6 years. This is why, like, it comes from my mind. It's like, it's a good day to try this trick. And I try it. But mostly I consider that I keep into the track to the tricks that I love. And I have kind of 10 tricks that I will always love. And I practice every time. For me, it's not repetitive. I just want to make it flawless every time that I practice. And I'm not really interested on learning new tricks. Sometimes I do if I'm getting bored. It's like I want to try something new for today. But mostly my training schedule is about different skills for the dance. So like the heel work, the flexibility, the point work, the musicality, flowing around the pole.
And how many hours a day would you train when you do go in?
Well, when I'm teaching, sometimes I teach 3-4 hours per day. So I don't have really like energy left to train like hard. So the days that I teach these kind of hours, probably 1 hour, 2 hours training, it would be good. If I have like more time, I can be training 3 hours, 3 hours and a half, but dividing like flexibility, dancing, probably some kind of tricks. So I try to get in 3 hours the most possible.
Well, yeah, it's hard to also train when you're teaching long hours as well, because there's only so much energy that you have in a day. So it can be hard as a balancing act, being an instructor, but also having time to train for yourself. You're obviously super strong and flexible. Have you always had those skills, or is that something that you had to really work on?
Well, I'm natural flexible. I mean, when I went to the physiotherapist, he told me that my body is like really natural flexible, especially my legs. So yes, I train so hard for getting like flexible as the point as I am. I was an ice skater before getting into the pole. So I have the training. I have background training in ballet, conditioning for dancers, and flexibility lessons. So that make me develop a little bit more my skills. But when I reached the point, it was when I started pole dancing and I wanted to get that tricks. And I know to get into that tricks, they require flexibility. So one of the first tricks that I saw, it was the Marchenko. And I get obsessed with that. And I work so hard because in my back, I'm not flexible. My upper body is not really flexible. So I start working like every day for that. And I was doing needle scales like probably 3 times per week. Yeah. So I build that as a flexibility, but as when you don't have control or responsible training, you get injured. I got injured and I mostly lost 50% of my back flexibility. Well, it teach me like a huge lesson about how to take care of your body. But now I know to control my wish to stretch and push more, you know, like make it more responsible, healthier for my body. And to the part of strong, I don't do anything else than pole. You know, sometimes people ask me if I do kind of conditioning because sometimes I do this kind of strong tricks. You know, it's just about pole. It's just the point is that I think that helped me so much. I get obsessed with the things. I see something, I get obsessed, and I cannot take off from my mind. So that makes me work hard for that. It's just, I need to do this kind of handspring, pull up. I need it. It doesn't matter how much I need to train, I need it. So that makes me work and over some tricks. So this is how I became strong.
Yeah, I think it's really important if you are a professional poler or any kind of dancer or movement artist, you have to have this kind of slightly obsessive or obsession with movement, because that's what's going to drive you to keep practicing. I see it quite a lot with people who are in circus as well. You have to just go over and over the same things over and again. And it's that obsession that kind of helps you really hone your craft and get better. You have to have this motivation to do something loads and loads of times.
That's right.
Just jumping back to your traveling stuff, do you have any favorite shows or places that you visited?
Yes, I mean, one of my favorite shows, it was Pole Show LA. Well, now it's called Rising Night. It was like, actually, it was one of my first dreams to get into that, to get invitation to be in that show. So I remember I was spending nights watching all the videos from the old pole show, LA, and I was like, oh my God, this could be like a dream if I get invited at some point. So I got invited in 2018, and it was a really amazing experience. I was so nervous. And I got invited again in 2020. Again, it was super, super challenging for me, because it was when you get into that point, to that dream, it becomes like really challenging for you. You know, it's like, okay, I got to this point, so it should be like impressive. I have to give my best in the show. So all the experience, it was my favorite since I got the invitation until I finished the show. It was like my favorite experience ever. When you work hard for something and then it goes well and you can rest and enjoy, that feeling is like really, really amazing. So I enjoy that show. And about my favorite place, I have, well, everywhere that I have been, it has been like very special for me. But I have good memories about Hong Kong. The first trip, it was like unreal for me. And also I enjoy so much Russia. When I went, I have been there twice. So both I enjoy so much. And I remember as well Costa Rica. I felt that there I found my place. I love the weather. I love the people. I will like the food, everything, and the scene. It was so warm. I kind of felt in home when I was in Costa Rica. Probably, you know, this Latino scene. It was like, oh, I'm in home.
Wow, amazing. I'm quite curious about Russia, actually. What was it like in the pole scene there? Because obviously Russia has its own style that is very well known within the pole industry, and they have a kind of hard style which is more like kips and flips and quite dynamic, and then they have this more flow style which is very balletic and smooth and fluid. Did you try these styles while you were there? Did they do any stripper style there?
Oh. I realized like the level is impressive. I mean, they have been doing this for so long, and like the level is really, really good there. But they were attracted to something different. They were like, okay, because what I heard, when the girls told me, is that usually this old school, like traditional style, is not common there. Even what I know is that the strippers there, at some point, they develop kind of this strip plastic style there, not really like a stripper style. So they were not being very familiar with this kind of style, you know, like this sexy. At the beginning, they told me that they were feeling a little bit shy with some kind of movement. In the sexy style, we use a lot of hips, a lot of like kind of round and wavy movement that they were not feeling like natural. They are used to something like strong, like sharp. So it was challenging for them because they could do that. Of course, they could do like everything, but sometimes they were looking at each other when I was doing like this kind of round circle with the hips. They are like, oh my God, what is going on? You know? So it was like kind of really challenging to create this open, this secure spot for them to feel comfortable with this, you know, because when something is not familiar with you, you can feel it weird. And if you don't create this very secure space, so, and also funny, relaxed, it's like not serious. I consider myself like not serious at all. When I'm teaching, I'm really chill, I'm really relaxed. So I wanted to create this atmosphere in my class because everyone was so serious. So I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm being ridiculous here because everyone's so serious and they just look at me like, why is she laughing or why is she smiling so much? Well, yeah, at the end, they were like absolutely super sweet. We create in just these workshops like a relaxed time. Probably they are used to very strict training. I think I wanted to create something like fun, sexy, relaxed, that they can kind of like a break into a very hard training and more finding themselves. And yeah, it was like a really nice experience. I have never worked with people that more serious than them. So at the end, they were like absolutely sweethearts, very, very lovely. Yeah, it was a really nice experience.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear about what it was like there. I guess with stripper style, because it's a lot more about the way that you do things and you kind of have to let go a little bit more, and therefore you become more vulnerable in a way than if you're doing like just technique and it's not as much about the way that you perform the move. Like you don't have to do like the face or the sexiness per se. It's more about the technique and the movements of it. So they're just completely different styles, and I feel like they will become separate, or maybe they already have become really separate ways of moving within pole.
Yes. I feel when I started like exploring this style that I felt vulnerable. It because also is related with the sensuality and the sexuality that makes you vulnerable from you, the people who see you, what they could think about. There's a lot of things related that can block you. So when you're dancing, when you're teaching, I feel vulnerable. You know, it's like I'm showing a part of me that is like really, really inside, but probably I don't show in public, but in my class, I'm showing this. So I can really understand how challenging could be for the people to try this kind of a style.
Yeah, I think as well, it's a lot to do more with your mental state as well, that you have to be really confident internally, not just with the way the body moves, but how it feels as well. So there's that added element to it, which can be really challenging for people.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to take us into the love, learn, and dream section, which is three questions that I ask all of my guests. So what do you love most about your job?
Was connecting with people, you know, creating bonds. Even I have heard a lot of times, like, you shouldn't get involved like too much with your students, but I really enjoy creating bonds. I really enjoy getting friendships from my students, getting the point that they trust me, not only with the personal stuff, you know, when they have a bad day and they reach me out, can we talk? No, it's not about that. It's like a trust bone that they say like, okay, this is me. guide me, you know, be my guide to my journey. And they put their safety, their trust in me. And that is a huge responsibility, you know, like, because you can make the difference between them getting frustrated and quit the ball or getting motivated and helping them to get into their goals. I think is the best.
Yeah, absolutely. What is the biggest lesson that you've learned along your journey?
I think it's being gentle with you. Like, get acceptance to the things. Sometimes we are very, very hard with ourselves. We think that we don't train enough. We think that we are not, like, good enough. We think that we are not fit, we are not beautiful, we are wherever not enough, you know. And of course, it's challenging. It's not something that easy that comes easy. And I have been many times in that place that I was like, why I am saying this to myself? For example, I was feeling sick and I was like, why you're not training? Are you lazy or what? You know, these kind of things. It's like, okay, you're feeling bad. Why you are so hard to yourself if you are not that hard to anyone else, you know? So it was the biggest lesson, to try to be more gentle with myself in this journey.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's really important to cut ourselves some slack. We're all human. We can't power through everything. Sometimes you have to take a break and find balance.
Yeah, I love that.
And the dream question, in a world where you had unlimited budget, unlimited access to any venue or place, and no health or safety restrictions, what would you do in your dream routine?
I think I would organize show with my favorite people. I mean, probably it's like 40 persons I love to watch. And I just want to watch everyone perform. It's like, I need to see everyone performing. I think I would create like the biggest show ever. Like, probably it would be like 3 days. But I think I would do that just to watch them dance live, because it feels like a concert, you know? You feel like the same feeling like to go into a concert and watch your favorite artist. I think I would do that.
Yeah, I love that. I think, as well as performing, it's really nice to just relax and watch other people perform, especially people that you love and you're inspired by. That's one of the best things, is going to shows and getting inspired with other people. So yeah, I love that. I think that's great. Where can we find you online?
I'm mostly, I share my stuff on Instagram. My username is Steph Jimpa. So you can find me there. I don't post so much on Facebook. I just post like memes and nonsense things. So if you want to watch my work, it's mostly on Instagram.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll put that in the show notes below. And we are going to go over to the bonus section for Patreon. So if you want to hear more, you need to hop over to Patreon. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Kitty. It was a pleasure to be in your podcast. And thank you, everyone, for listening to me.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.